Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Free Palmer 89.5 KVRF presents Dog Talk Radio, hosted by Robert and Michelle Forto. On Dog Talk Radio, we do just that. Talk dogs. Everything from introducing a new puppy into your home to the health and welfare of your canine senior citizen and all points in between. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. Here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forto.
Tonight is the first episode of Dog Talk Radio here on KVRF in Palmer, Alaska, and sitting beside me is our host for Dog Talk, Michelle Forto. Michelle, how's it going?
It's going great, Robert. Thank you for sitting in as my producer this evening. I really appreciate your support.
You know, this is a brand new show here on KVRF, and I don't think there's anything like it here in Alaska, is there?
No, from what I understand, this is going to be a one-of-a-kind show for Alaska, and I'm really looking forward to the feedback from our listeners.
You know, we have done a podcast for well over 4 years on our main network, Dog Works Radio, dogworksradio.com, but this is a little bit different. We're doing it on terrestrial radio. We're going to have the ability for guests to call in and come into the studio. A little bit different than our home studio, isn't it?
Well, absolutely, Robert. I surely do like spending some time with you and Mike when I cover as a co-host, when Mike's on vacation. And it's been a lot of fun being in a real radio station.
It has been. So before we get started on our premiere episode of Dog Talk Radio, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, everybody, I'd like to let you know that my name is Michelle Forto, and I have been doing dog training for just about, a little over 15 years now. I have been involved with animals my entire life. My grandparents had a farm, and my parents bred golden retrievers, and we just have always had animals. I got into dog training a little bit later in life after I already had three kids, and I decided that would be a good way to take care of my family. Boy, was I in for a rude awakening very quickly. Because not only did I have no clue what I was doing 16 years ago, I met my husband, Robert, who pretty much thought that I had no clue, and he was going to be the only one that could teach me the ropes. But over the years, we've learned and grown together and grown a business, and we've been quite successful at it. And here we are in Alaska following his dream to run Iditarod. And dog training has kept us afloat and keeps us going. So today I'd like to discuss bringing home a new puppy. Robert, what was the first puppy you brought home, and how old were you?
You know, the first puppy, before we do that, a little bit about myself. As Michelle mentioned, my name is Robert Forto. I'm a canine behaviorist at Alaska Dog Works. Michelle and I both run that, as well as a kennel of crazy sled dogs. The name of it is Team Aneke. We're up here in Willow, Alaska, the mushing capital of the world. We have 36 sled dogs, ranging in age from just over 5 months all the way up to a little over 10 years.
Nine.
So, yes.
So obviously Robert doesn't handle the kennel management portion of the kennel.
No, I am the musher. I am the dog trainer out in the kennel along with our two kids, Nicole and Tyler. But yes, Michelle is definitely the business manager on the kennel side. But before we do our topic tonight, tell us a little bit about what you do at our business, Alaska Dog Works.
At Alaska Dog Works, I am pretty much the jack of all trades. I do everything behind the scenes. I do everything virtually in front of the camera, so to speak. I'm the one that you first speak to. I'm the last one you speak to. I'm the one that trains your dog. Robert steps in when I need him or when we have special cases. Other than that, Robert is the one who handles all of our media presence.
I guess that's true. And, of course, we do work quite a bit with crazy cases from time to time, aggression, separation anxiety, problems that you may not encounter with a typical pet dog.
Chaotic is probably a better word. It's, you know, people misunderstand when you say crazy. There are chaotic cases. There's cases where the owner feels that the situation is out of control and chaotic, when really they just need to follow a few simple changes in their own lifestyle and the way that they are approaching their dog versus total rehabilitation type courses.
So Dog Talk Radio will be airing live every Wednesday night, 7 p.m., or you can catch us anytime on our podcast at dogworksradio.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Dogworks Radio. We look forward to your comments, suggestions, and topic ideas. This is definitely going to be a socially active show, so I look forward to having people's input, comments, and questions back and forth. We look forward to even having what we're calling the Vet Corner here in just a couple of weeks with a local vet that that we're working in concert with, and looking forward to having some good vet advice as well.
Absolutely. Here in Alaska, I know that vet care is difficult at times to get to, especially when you live in the outlying areas, such as Chickaloon and Sutton. And it's always good to know what mobile vets are available out there, as well as the opportunity to drive into Palmer or Wasilla.
That's exactly right. So tonight on our premiere episode of Dog Talk Radio, we're talking about bringing a new puppy into the home. And Michelle's first question to me was, what was the first puppy that I ever brought into our home? Well, it was, I was 14, 15 years old, living in the D.C. suburbs of Woodbridge, Virginia, and I just happened to run across a Brittany, or a Springer Spaniel puppy, and I just had to have him. I paid for him with my own money, brought him home, ended up calling him Barney, and he was my dog for the next several years until I went on to college.
I know you do have fond memories of Barney. So when you first brought Barney home, you're going to be my guinea pig tonight, Robert. When you first brought Barney home, what's the first thing that your parents said to you as a teenager that just purchased his first dog?
Well, you know, I had had dogs my whole life, starting with a little mixed breed dog that we named Sugar Plum back when I was 4 or 5 years old. A little white dog with a brown stripe down his down her back, and we had her for years until she passed away from old age, probably shortly before I picked up Barney. So I'd always had dogs my entire life, but you know, when I brought Barney home, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know anything about dog training. I thought that taking care of a dog was putting a bowl of food down and letting him out from time to time, and that was about it.
Right. So what I asked you, because you're such the politician, how did your parents deal with you bringing home this new puppy? Did they lay down some ground rules? Did they explain to you what the responsibilities are of having a puppy?
No, not really. They just pretty much said, okay, if you're going to do this, this is your dog. We're not taking care of him. We'll help you buy the food. But other than that, he is your dog and your responsibility.
And, you know, that's what we hear a lot of. A lot of times, teenagers and young adults will buy their first dog or decide that they want to have their first dog and they rescue a puppy. And sometimes it's an impulse buy, especially when there's pet stores in the malls and things. And impulse buys, I really try to advise people against. An impulse buy is not going to necessarily be a good choice for you in the long run. When you go to get ready to purchase or choose your first puppy, there's a lot of variables that go into that. Number one, are you able to have that animal in the dwelling that you live in? There are certain rules and regulations with certain apartments and condos and townhomes, and even some homeowners associations disallow certain types of breeds. So there's some investigating that you need to do right off the bat. Another issue will be, is it within your budget? A typical dog, we're going to go with the middle-sized dog, the first year of life, according to the ASPCA, will run a new dog owner about $1,500 for the first year. Is that within your budget? I don't think it was within the budget of a 15-year-old.
It wasn't. I was working as a paper boy at that time. I had a route of about 60 papers, and that probably brought in, $90, $100 a month.
Yeah, and I know what you were spending that on, not necessarily the dog food. So, you know, back in our day, vet care wasn't what it is today. It was not as expensive. It wasn't as popular to make sure your dog had going to the vet yearly and things like that. that has become popular over the last 20 years. But when you and I were kids, I don't remember my parents ever taking our dog to the vet past puppy shots.
Yeah, past puppy shots, and of course, we were good pet owners at the time. We did take him in to get fixed.
Well, right. My parents did, too, but, I mean, there wasn't the yearly checkups and the dental and things like that. It was puppy shots, puppy vaccinations, the rabies every 3 years, and other than that, that's the only time the dog went to the vet, unless they had a serious issue. But that's just different times. I think that it's wonderful now that people utilize their veterinarians in the way that they do. So that's one place where I would suggest that people start, is find out if you're able to even have this puppy or dog in your home, in the area that you live in, the type of dwelling that you live in, barring the fact that I'm not even going to discuss if you have proper area to walk the dog, exercise the dog, let him go out to go to the bathroom, does he have a yard to play in, so on and so forth, because quite frankly, I really don't care if you have a yard for your dog as long as you are understanding that you have to give that dog ample exercise on a daily basis.
So what is ample exercise for a dog? You know, I think a lot of people think that exercising your dog is opening up the sliding glass door and letting him go, quote, unquote, play out in the yard.
Well, we're going to stick with the medium-sized dog. There's differences between small dogs, toy breeds, and large dogs, and working breeds, and I mean, it just is too much information for our first show. But let's say that you have a run-of-the-mill rescue dog. He's, a Benji type of a dog. Think of that type of a dog. And he's going to require a good 45 minutes to an hour of exercise a day that's not just running around in the backyard. Dogs need both mental exercise and physical exercise. And that's really a big key that some people still fall apart on. They don't understand, well, I exercised my dog. We walked and we walked and we walked and we walked. He played and he played and he played and he played at the dog park. So what? That might not be enough for him. He may need some mental stimulation as well. So part of your training needs to involve some mental stimulation along the way. But back to step two of getting your puppy. Step two, I would always suggest to investigate the veterinarians in your area. Go talk to them. You can go in and ask for an interview with the veterinarian, and they will be happy to sit down and discuss with you a type of dog that would be appropriate for your lifestyle and your personality, and they can really help guide you with that. And it also gives you an idea of what they're like, what their style of care is for your animal, and if it's a relationship that you want to develop. A veterinarian in your life is different than your family doctor these days. People will go see their veterinarian at the drop of a hat, but they won't go to the dentist.
That is true. And, you know, another good choice for finding out about dogs and dog breeds are dog trainers as well.
Absolutely. I always suggest to people that would be the step three. Thank you very much for the lead-in. I appreciate it. Step three would be to start discussing dog trainers with dog trainers in your area and even doggy daycares. I think that those places are absolute plethoras of information for you. But also, there is the Internet. Now, beware of the Internet because there are websites out there that are misleading, and then there's websites out there that are completely dedicated to honesty and 100% education. I would suggest rescuing a dog or not that you start with the AKC, and it's www.akc.org. They are a great website for information about all dog breeds, and more and more and more, the American Kennel Club is not just educating people about purebred breeds. They have a huge campaign for the betterment of pit bulls.
They have. So we've done our homework. We haven't done the impulse purchase. We've talked to our vet. We've talked to a trainer. We've checked out the AKC, American Kennel Club website. What's next?
Yeah, go to the PetSmart.
Go to the PetSmart.
Or whichever store you want to go to. And you then decide on, hopefully you've spoken to the vet about foods and different food allergies. There's a big, huge popularity about raw feeding and whole feeding and Then there's the old standby of just a bag of dry kibble. Please do your homework. There is such a vast variety of ways to feed your dogs nowadays that it can truly become cumbersome in the choices. Also be aware that certain types of breeds do have food allergies and other dispositions that require them to have higher cost diets.
So we've done our homework at the food store, at the feed store now, and we've done all of our homework.
You're not done at the feed store.
Well, at the
now
pet store.
At the pet store, you need to be purchasing a crate. And that's what I really want people to understand, is a crate is not something that you use to punish your dog. It's something that you use as a tool. It is the number one tool I discuss with people when they call me and say, Michelle, I'm going to buy a puppy. And I say, first, go out and buy a crate. When you go out and you buy the crate and the food and you talk to the vet and you really figure it out, that first month before you buy the puppy or rescue the puppy, you're probably going to want to go ahead and invest in these items first. Because when you get a medium-sized dog, you don't want to go out and buy an extra-large crate so he has room to play in his new home. The crate is his den. It needs to be large enough for him to stand up and turn around in as a puppy, and even at times made just a little bit more uncomfortable, because you don't want him to sprawl out and have room to poop in the corner so that he can still go to bed and eat his food on one side and poop in the other. Believe me, a dog that poops in the back of the crate is not fun when you got to stick your head in there and clean it out.
So we've done all of this without even getting the puppy yet.
Oh, yeah, you can get the puppy, but you've got to realize what comes first. It's like putting the cart before the horse.
All right, so now we have our puppy. He's a bundle of joy. We've brought him home. It's the first few days at his new home. He has his crate. He has his toys. He has all of his new things in life. He's ready to explore the world. What should we do next?
Well, when you first bring your puppy home, you need to realize that a new puppy, especially if it's between the ages of 6 weeks and 9 weeks, needs to be treated the same way you would treat an infant human baby. They should have time to rest without too much stimulation. In other words, the puppy should not be carried around for hours upon hours upon hours. It needs to be laid down and left alone and let do his own thing, or it's going to get what we worry about, and that's over-human socialization. In other words, they'll tag onto a human and it won't want to play with other dogs, so you will set it up for a failure in the future. So you want to bring him home, you want to stimulate him, you want to let him rest, and you want to make sure he's eating well. Eating is a big concern with new puppy owners. Is he eating enough? Is he eating too much? How do I know? The best way to tell is to check his stools. If his stools are firm and soft when he poops, like semi-soft ice cream, that's a good sign that he's getting enough nutrition and enough water. If they're diarrhea, then you could have an issue. But don't freak out at the first moment of diarrhea. It could simply mean that he ate too much food. If diarrhea persists for more than 24 hours or more than 3 stools, then I would suggest consulting your vet at the first possible moment with a puppy of that age.
So you're listening to Dog Talk Radio here on KVRF 89.5 Radio Free Palmer, and we're talking about bringing home a brand new puppy here on our premiere episode of Dog Talk Radio. We're up to the point now where the puppy is in the home. We've got all of his essentials to have a very successful life in his new home. We've got the crate, we've got the toys, the proper food. We've talked to trainers and veterinarians, and the little guy is at home now, and he's exploring the world. What's next?
What's next? Hopefully you remembered at the pet store to pick up a puppy collar and a leash. Why would I like to put a leash on and a collar on a puppy that is 7 weeks old, Robert?
To start him off right, so he learns that leash manners come first.
That's right, but it doesn't mean that I want to drag, tug, pull, rip, or anything else that puppy on that leash. Sometimes what I want you to do is simply put that leash on and let him drag it around the house. He needs to feel what that leash feels like, feel what that collar feels like, really get comfortable with it. If he chews on it, try not to stress too much. He is a puppy. There's going to be a whole bunch of teething stages that he will be going through, which brings me to nipping and mouthing and biting. There are differences in those three things. And when a puppy is teething, it's going to mouth more so than anything else. But I think we can save that for another episode. What you want to do with the leash and things is tie it to your side. Let the puppy kind of walk around and bounce around with you naturally. At that age of 7 weeks, you don't want to drag the puppy. You want to make everything as happy as possible, because on our next episode, I'm going to cover critical period one with you and really discuss fear periods. That's the best idea I think I can do for our listeners, is discuss critical period one and really focus on the fear period, Robert, because a lot of people, that's where the puppy's life foundation is set. And I don't care if your dog is 5 years old and he displays some unwanted behaviors, it goes back to the foundation, and typically it is discovered that something went wrong in the fear period.
I totally agree with that. And you know, Michelle, you mentioned about having the dog walk around with you on the leash while you go about your daily business. And I know I tell a lot of my clients to do this, whether they're puppies or adult dogs that have never had training, to tie that dog to a belt loop and let him walk around the kitchen with you as you make dinner, as you prepare for the evening meal, whether you're getting things out of the refrigerator, or going to the sink, the dishwasher, et cetera, all of that movement without paying any attention to that puppy or that dog will provide a very good, not only a bonding period, but also a way for him to learn where you're at, what you're doing, and how to learn to pay attention to you.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's kind of like being, you're the surrogate mom when you're taking over that position, because puppies always follow the moms around. So the first thing they want to do is follow you, but they also want to elicit your attention. So at the first moment that a puppy not on a leash and not attached to you is eliciting your attention and you don't pay attention, it will result in the puppy seeking out negative forms of attention. Chewing your counters, chewing up your couch, chewing your shoe, spilling the water bowl, etc., etc. If that puppy is attached to you by that leash, you are now accepting him as your surrogate puppy, and you are teaching him manners and, most importantly, boundaries.
You know, you talked about negative attention and negative consequences and things that happened when dogs get into trouble. One of the things that we hear probably most often is, how should I discipline my puppy? How should I correct my puppy if he's doing something wrong? And there is definitely a lot of misinformation out there. A lot of people don't know the proper way to correct a puppy if he does something wrong, whether it's getting in the trash or surfing the counters or pooping on the floor or whatever. What's the proper way to let the puppy know that he's done something wrong and to work that into a training routine versus just punishing him? You know, the old standby, rubbing his nose in the pee or the poop that's on the floor. That's not a good way to correct your puppy, is it?
Well, no, not anymore. It's been proven by behaviorists like you that doesn't always work. But on the other hand, giving that puppy a treat when he poops outside doesn't always work either, because they're not equating that they pooped for a treat. They're not toddlers. You know, they're not sitting on the toilet and eating an M&M because they went poop, so they don't make that association. The best way I can tell you for correcting a puppy in the age group that I gave, which was 6 to 9 weeks, would be simply, honestly, the leash is the best tool. The leash and the crate are your two best friends when you first have a puppy in that age group. What I do when the puppy doesn't do something that is wanted behavior, I give a sharp no correction. And then when they do, more so though, I pay attention to when they're doing behavior that is wanted. When they're doing behaviors that are wanted, I want to make sure that I'm paying attention to that and telling that puppy, good dog, that's a good boy. And speaking in that type of tone, and that really rings true. And I don't know, I've been breeding puppies and breeding dogs and choosing puppies for people for more years than I've been a dog trainer. And I can tell you, this works. When you redirect and really pay attention to your tone and praise that puppy for no good reason other than being a good dog, that's what works.
It does work, and you talk a lot about positive reinforcement and negative reinforcement. You know, a lot of scientific terms always come up in dog training classes and, you know, especially on the internet. You always hear the term positive reinforcement. It has to be all positive. And you know, I always tell my clients, does everything that your kid do you give positive praise for? What is your answer to that?
I think that's an absolute trend these days for both dogs and kids. And I don't think that it's good. I think it's detrimental to society as a whole, for pets and for humans. If you're going to be good Johnny, good Johnny, good Johnny all the time, the second that Johnny misbehaves and the parents haven't set the boundary of what is acceptable and not acceptable, you know, our parents called it morals and values. I'm going to call it boundaries because it crosses both worlds, human and canine. But when you don't set a boundary for little Johnny and you don't set a boundary for little Max, what happens? They're eventually going to do something that you dislike. And if you overlook what you dislike because you don't want to upset little Max or little Johnny, that's when you're going to have issues. Because Max is going to get in a dog fight and your neighbor is going to do something that you might not necessarily want to deal with. And Johnny is going to get in trouble at school, and his teacher and his principal are going to discipline him. And in those situations and scenarios, I believe that it is much better for the dog owner to set the boundaries on the dog, let the dog know what you like versus what you don't like, focus on the likes more than the dislikes, and you won't have to do a lot of punishing. Whatever punishment that may be. I'm not going to sit here and discuss punishments with people because at Alaska Dog Works, we do not believe in hitting dogs. It's just not something that we've ever done. It's not something I condone. I do know that here in Alaska, disciplining your dog with a spanking on the butt or a swat across the nose or worse is acceptable. It's not in my world. Yes, I have taken a finger and smushed a dog on the nose for a bite or, you know, things like that. But I'm not beating, hitting, spanking a dog.
So on today's show, we're talking about bringing a new puppy into your home. Michelle, we have about a minute and a half left. We've got our puppy. We want to set him up for success. Any last words before we close?
Basically, I would like everybody to tune in for critical periods so I can discuss the fear periods with you next week, because what happens next is mom dropped a pan in the kitchen and totally scared the dog, and now that dog is afraid of the linoleum floor. What do you do to overcome that? That's really important to know, because now you have a dog that's afraid to walk on the linoleum floor, such as our dog Reagan, does not like to walk on linoleum floors because she was startled at a very young age and you didn't know why.
That's exactly right. And you know, we're not just talking about puppies on Dog Talk Radio. We're talking about all sorts of topics as we progress through the weeks. We're talking about not only puppy ownership, but things that are happening in the world in terms of dog law. We're talking about service dogs, working dogs, having guests on, reviewing books and movies and shows about dogs and answering questions about dogs. Everything dog we're going to talk about on Dog Talk Radio.
Does that include when the man's in the doghouse?
Ooh, I don't know about that, but we'll see. I've been in there more than once, and that is for sure. So make sure you guys tune in 7 p.m. every Wednesday night here on KVRF, and make sure you send over our your questions and comments. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Just follow us at DogWorks Radio, and make sure you visit our website, dogworksradio.com, for all archived episodes. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.